7:38 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now by phone, we have the Escambia County Sheriff, Chip Simmons. Mr. Sheriff. I don't know what I got caught in between titles there for a second. Mr. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Apparently, I'm doing fine. Anything happened in the last day or two that we don't already know about?
We didn't have anything overnight, but we did have a reported armed robbery at the Dollar General on Pine Forest Road yesterday. White male armed with a gun walked into Dollar General, asked for a small amount of money, and fled with an undisclosed small amount of money. So we're looking for information on that. But other than that, most of it has been our engagement efforts. As you know, we're starting our Blazer Academy first session is tonight.
Oh, great.
So we're very excited about that. Yeah, we're going to have one session this year and hopefully have two or three sessions next year. So, again, we're very excited about it. We're doing a lot with our young people.
Hey, Sheriff, before you go on, can you just take a second, because people don't hear everything, can you just take like 20 seconds and tell people what the Blazer Academy is? Because it's really a cool initiative, and I want to make sure people understand what it is.
Well, yeah, thank you. It's basically a mentoring initiative. We are going to host 12, 13, 14-year-old young men, and we're going to talk to them about a variety of things. We have four sessions every Tuesday in August. Well, the first four Tuesdays in August, I should say. We're going to go over things basically about what it takes to be a gentleman, what it takes to be a young man, and then growing into a gentleman in today's society. We're going to provide them with a set of clothing. We're going to go over things like, everything as simple as handshaking to, domestic violence, to dating violence, to and then open it up for an open dialogue with these kids.
Oh, I love it. I've told you before when we've talked about this. I love this idea, this manhood mentoring, and the name even is great. I'm really kudos to you. It's a fantastic initiative. Anyway, I kind of interrupted you. You were in the process of saying some other community outreach stuff that you guys are working on.
Yeah, I was on just talking about the youth initiatives that we have. One, again, is the Blazer Academy. Another one is the Youth Advisory Council. We are partnering with the school district, and we're going to have 14 young men and women that will represent the juniors and seniors. They'll represent the area high schools, and we'll meet once a month, and then we'll discuss things that are important to the youth in our high schools. I think it's important to reach out to every aspect of society, and these are just two of the initiatives that we have going on, specifically targeting our young men and women.
And I think you have the Mayfair stuff is coming up this weekend. Is that right?
Right. Last week we were supposed to go to Lexington Terrace, but the heat advisory that off. But this week we should be at Mayfair, and then we're going to be at a different location. I think each Saturday in the month of August. So we have a lot of stuff going on. People have probably heard about our neighborhood engagement team initiatives that we have going on there. And then we'll probably put out some stuff a little bit later on about our increased enforcement. Our gun crimes unit has been doubled in size, and they're doing a lot of good work as well.
And by the way, we did feature it when you told Commissioner Bergosh about it, but you guys have reestablished some great relationships with the federal law enforcement partners that had been allowed to kind of grow into neglect. You guys obviously have the body cameras that you're implementing now, rolling out more of those on a daily basis. I mean, there's just, expanding the two new substations that have been reopened. Anyway, it's just a lot of stuff going on at the sheriff's office that we appreciate that you guys are doing. I did want to ask you, the plane crash that took place at Blue Angel, you guys were involved in responding to that. Cops are first on the scene to a lot of strange things, and then obviously fire is going to come and handle most of that. But, what's that like? How do you prepare your folks for responding to something like that?
Well, how do you prepare for that sort of thing? I think that if you're just trained in initial response and then You got kind of a checklist of things. You first aid the injured, and then you secure the scene. And then if we're the ones that investigate it, then we work on that part of it with crime scene. But in this case, we're not really prepared to do a long-term investigation on a plane crash. So our involvement was, getting the initial 911 calls, whether it is the Escambia County Sheriff's Office or our partners at EMS and fire. Whoever gets there first, basically, we'll do whatever life-saving efforts that they can do. And then, again, we just secure the scene. So we're really lucky. When I first got the call, the first call came in as a plane crash into Blue Angel Elementary School. And my first thought is, are there people there? And the school hasn't started yet, but might there be teachers there? Fortunately, it was on the roadway in front of the school. And I as far as I can tell, there are no fatalities. But, so I guess it could have been a lot worse. We're just glad everyone is safe now.
Yeah, obviously the main thing is that, the people who were involved in the crash obviously taken to the hospital, but that nobody else was injured, and certainly that they managed to bring it down in a way that didn't harm anybody in that process as well. We're talking to Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, I want to ask you it's a difficult question, but I know it's something that you care deeply about. We had the report came out yesterday that yet another police officer, law enforcement officer that had been involved in the January 6th Capitol insurrection riot took his own life. We don't talk a lot about this stuff, but in the military and in law enforcement, it's tragically common. What do you do, or what are you doing, if you have thoughts about that? But what are you doing to improve the mental health and keep checks? You're now Chief Deputy Tommy Leiter, put in routine, periodic mental health checks for the officers at PPD when he was there. Are you doing something like that at the sheriff's office yet?
Well, I think my answer will be twofold. One is that yes, we are doing periodic checks to those that are assigned to really high stress, locations. We have deputies that work child crimes and special victims unit, so we have them periodically checked. And homicide investigators, crime scene investigators, they are periodically checked. That's the first part. The second part is we are about to basically roll out a mental health program where I will assign one of our command staff members to be over this program, and it's going to concentrate on both external and internal mental health. The external part is the relationship with our partners, with Lakeview, our crisis intervention training, and the accreditation standards that we have. The internal piece will be, again, to coordinate with some mental health professionals and to look internally at the men and women that we have. Basically, it's for the wellness of the sheriff's office employees itself. So that program will probably roll out in a week or two, but we're working on it, and I already have in mind who we're going to put in charge of it. And I think that you'll see that we take the mental health aspect very serious, whether it is our relationship with our mental health partners in the community and the way we address those with mental health. And the second part is addressing what you're talking about, the employees themselves. And I'm not saying that we're going to have a counselor on the staff, but I will tell you that a lot of times whenever you're formulating policies and procedures, you need someone that has that knowledge base, and we'll work with our partners and we'll address both of these two issues.
What you were talking about, mental health and the effect of encountering, especially with child crimes, I cannot imagine what those folks endure. I think about, like, if I'm just a citizen watching TV and I watch gory, horrible things all the time on TV, that has an effect on me, and that's bad. And, of course, your folks see that stuff up close, personal, in real life often, far too often. The other side of it is, at least if I'm watching on TV, most of the time the good guys catch the bad guys. There's resolution. There's closure. There's a success. But I know a lot of times for you guys, things don't get solved right away, or it just takes years and years for the process to work itself out. How mentally do you teach people to deal with that, a very frustrating side of being in law enforcement?
Well, I mean, I don't know that there's any one real definitive way to do that, but I think that it's important to understand what the job is. And as you mentioned, it is different than watching something on television. You can take something like the NAS, the active shooter that we had at NAS, a terrorist shooting. That there are at the scene. I was there. I mean, you could see a lot of things that are difficult to unsee.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's important to make sure that they have someone to talk to, that they're not alone in this thing. And it's normal to have these flashbacks, if you will. But we are all in this, and I think that again, the efforts that we're going to take and allowing people to discuss this, to talk about it. In fact, we mandate that everyone's involved in an officer-involved shooting that they go see someone and talk to someone before we put them back to work, and then we have a follow-up 6 months or so later to make sure that there's nothing that's haunting them. These things are very important to us. We send our men and women out there to do and to see some terrible things.
Yeah.
And again, we're only human, so I think it's important for us to make sure that we understand what they're going through and do our best to help them out.
Absolutely. Last quick question for you, Sheriff. As I'm sure you well know, your former boss, Sheriff David Morgan, who had filed to run for mayor, and of course Mayor Robinson decided not to run, and then Jewel Canada Wynn got in, and we're all expecting DC Reeves to get in, although he hasn't officially announced yet. Now Sheriff Morgan has dropped out of the race, citing health reasons. Any thoughts on this development? I know your relationship with the city is pretty close given your past background, but any thoughts on either that race or on this development with Sheriff Morgan withdrawing from it?
Well, I would just say that the decision to run for office is a big one. I mean, it takes a lot of effort, a lot of time, and you put yourself and your family through a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And if you're not 100% committed, or if you have things that are going to be a distraction to that, it's only fair to not get in or to get out. Again, I think that you have to be 100% committed. Things have to be in the right sphere for you to run. And I think that if that's all these things, all these boxes aren't checked, I think it would behoove everyone to just get out of it or to not get into it at all.
I'll say it on behalf of all the people like you who run for public office. Even under the best of circumstances, it sucks a lot to run and to be in office. And when all of the other stuff is not where you want it to be, it can make it just plain impossible. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff, thank you so much for the time. As always, thanks for what you do. We'll talk to you again next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.